Thank you for having us. I'm glad to be in the house of the Lord today. King David said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord, and I'm glad to be here. And we are in His place, the house of the Lord. This is His place, the house of the Lord. I need to give you a couple words of instruction. You need to turn on your sanctified creative imagination a little bit today. If you just listen to the words, I'm sorry. Because these are just a man's words, okay? If they're just my words, you know, they may make you smile and they may make you angry and they, you know, but they're just words. I'm just a mouthpiece of the Lord, but I am the mouthpiece of the Lord. And I'm convinced that I have a word. The Lord has given me a word for each of you. Now, for some of you, it may be in the first minute. Others are a little harder headed, and it may take an hour or two, and I'm willing to stay here as long as it needs till you get the word. But so every word may not be for everyone, but I am convinced that for the most spiritual person here, God wants to speak to your heart. And for the least spiritual person here, maybe you're not saved, God wants to speak to your heart. So I'm going to say a short prayer, and I want you to really mean it. And then when I start preaching, I'm going to be going pretty fast, okay? So don't get sidetracked. Try to stay and let, now this is the key. Let the Holy Spirit speak to your heart in that area. It may be something a little bit off from what I'm saying, but let the Holy Spirit speak to your heart. He wants to change you today. He wants to make you more like Jesus. And so remember, I mean, I'm just an old fallible man. I'll stutter and stammer and say things wrong. And, you know, sometimes Lynn jumps up and I have to correct what I've said. And, you know, just get ready for that kind of stuff. But listen, God has chosen in His infinite wisdom to speak through fallible people. So I am convinced that I'm a mouthpiece of the Holy Spirit here today. And I'm convinced that the most of everything I say will be from Him. And if it's not, may it fall to the ground. Lord God, we hunger after You. We hunger after Your voice. We want to hear Your voice. We want to hear Your voice speaking to us. Lord, I do not care about hearing the voice of a man. I do not care. Even though You use man's voices, it's not the voice of the man that we're here to hear. It's here. We're here to hear You speak to us. We sing about Your presence. We ask for Your presence. We want Your presence, Lord. Anoint and speak to our hearts through Your precious Holy Spirit. Call to each one here and meet us exactly where we are. There's some people here that need deliverance. It's not a message on deliverance, but You can deliver. It's not a message on healing, but You can heal. This is a message that You can speak personalized to everyone here. So we receive. And before I say amen, will each of you just say, we receive from You, Lord. Amen. Turn with me in the book of Revelation. Revelation. Chapter 19, one verse, actually one part of one verse, Revelation 19:9. Blessed are they that are invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb. What a wonderful passage. I'm here to issue a call. I'm here to give you an invitation to the best marriage feast ever. We've had some good marriage feasts, haven't we? Together, we've had good marriage feasts. I'm here to issue a call to you to the very best marriage feast there's ever been. Now, I know my primary calling. Some of y'all have struggled with me as I have tried to operate outside my calling and do things that maybe I wasn't called to do. Can I tell you today, well, I know my calling. I know what my calling is. And I'm not sure if it's for all of you, but it probably is. It's at least for most of you. My calling, my primary calling, is to issue invitations to the table of the Lord. What could be better than that? You're invited. I'm here to tell people that the Bible is a love story. It's a love story between God and His creation. It's a romantic love story. It's not a work of fiction. But it's a real love story of a king wooing his bride. Let's play a word association game. Peanut butter. Yeah. Eggs. Thanksgiving. Dinner. Turkey. There are several. I've got several here. Food, feast. Listen, I like to eat. I like to feast with friends and family. God likes feasts. Did you know that, Jim? God likes feasts. He likes celebrations. Fellowship with His family. He likes the fellowship of His family around His table. Turn with me. Now, just remember, we're blessed are they that are invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 22. Matthew chapter 22. Now, I'm going to assume that most of you are familiar with this story. I'm not going to read the whole story. I'm not going to take the time. I'm going to read one verse and tell you a little bit about it. You can go home and check afterwards if you're not familiar. I'm telling you the story right. I am. Aren't I? You know it. I'm going to tell you the story right. She thinks so. She's not so sure. So she's going to go home and check after me. The kingdom of heaven. This is Matthew chapter 22, verse 2. The kingdom of heaven may be compared, the King James, I think, says is likened to, a king who gave a wedding feast for his son. There it is again, food feast. But this thing about kings, we Americans do not relate to kings and kingdoms very well. We think in terms of republic, maybe. I hope you think in terms of a republic or democracy or presidents and elections and those kind of things. But listen, the heaven is not a democracy. It's a kingdom with a king. And His name is?
Jesus.
Now, as Christians, we are committed to doing the same things that our King does. We're committed to having the same values that He has. We're committed to like what He likes, to dislike what He dislikes, to allow the Holy Spirit to teach us about the King. Now, the Lord wants to teach us about the King so that we will develop a taste for those things which He likes and a distaste for those things that He doesn't like. He wants us to learn to spit out of our mouth those things which He spits out of His. Now listen, I mean, if I was just telling you this, I could be committed. I mean, this whole thing about how much God loves us and how much He wants to share with us and how much He wants you to be like Him and how much He's willing to make you like Him and let you be like Him, that's so unbelievable. But can we stop right here and just say that what Jesus thinks is important? Y'all know where I'm going, don't you? What He thinks is important is important. And you're important. You are. Not just you. You're not. I mean, you're special, but all of us are. Now, I'm so glad that our God, Yahweh, Jehovah, I'm so glad that He's good. All the time. I knew somebody was going to say that. I started to say it, and I said, no, I know Paul will if nobody else would. Our God is good all the time. Can you imagine a universe where an evil God reigned? God is good. And He likes good things. And He detests bad things. He detests things that are harmful to us. So, Thanksgiving, food, feast, friends, fellowship, fun. Those are the things I'm going to talk to you about today. And I do pray that God will speak to your heart through these things. Matthew 22:2, Jesus said, the kingdom of heaven is likened to a king who gave a wedding feast for his son. He sent out his servants to call all those who had been invited to come, to come. So you think maybe I'm in pretty good ground here when I say I've come to invite you to a wedding feast? But, did you know that little word has eternal consequences? There were many who were unwilling to come. How about you? Are you willing to RSVP with a yes to His marriage supper? Personally, I say yes. I'm sort of thrilled. Please let me come. I'm honored to be invited. This is an important event to me. The family given the marriage is important to me. The father is important. The one being married is my best friend. There's nothing I can do that's more important than attending this wedding. I just can't understand people that make excuses. I just bought some oxen. I just bought some land. I just got married. Excuses are just that. They're excuses. I want to say this to you and listen very carefully. If you want to come, you can come. It's that simple. Now let me add a little parenthesis here. It doesn't matter if you're depressed, if you're sad, if you're hurting, if you're excited, if you're on top of the mountain or in the depths of the valley, if the demons are nipping at your heels, it doesn't matter. You can still come. If you want to, you can come. Now, there's one valid reason that people can give not to come to the wedding feast. You can tell me that you have nothing to wear. You don't have the resources. You don't have the money to buy the kind of extravagant gown or suit or tux to go to such a magnificent event. I understand, because I didn't have the money either. But the good news is that the Father is a very rich man. And He's taken care of it. He has taken care of it. He's purchased beautiful white garments for each one of us who desire to attend the wedding. In fact, the only appropriate attire is that which is supplied by the Father. Those who attempt to dress in their own clothes will not be admitted. And if you happen to slip through the guards, you're going to get kicked out. Read it. If you don't, read it. If you slip through the guards and you're not dressed appropriately, you'll get kicked out. Everybody who comes to this wedding is going to be dressed properly. There's no person rich enough to clothe themselves in the proper garments. But there's no one too poor to attend. Isn't that a marvelous message? Can you believe that I've been given such a marvelous message to bring to you today? Isn't that wonderful? The king is the only one who can afford the purchase price. And he's given it to anyone who will humble themselves and receive a gift. A gift! Not everyone who answers the RSVP with a yes actually attend the wedding. It saddens me that a lot of people stand up and say, I want to go to the wedding. And then they never actually attend the wedding. It's going to take some effort to attend the wedding. Now, I'm speaking today in light of that table that is set in heaven for us Christians. We call it the marriage supper of the Lamb. Now, that table has been set for us, for Christians, all those who've been born again, who've been washed in the blood. It's for all of us. It's for then and it's for now. I mean, for then and for there. And it's for all Christians. Now, in light of that table, I want to share with you today something near and dear in my heart, since I like to eat. It's called restaurants. Something that Paul is very familiar with. Some of you are very familiar with restaurants. As long as they got chicken. You can't be a preacher if you don't like fried chicken. I want to share with you about three restaurants. There are spiritual restaurants that are actually located here on earth. Now, this is where your imagination is going to have to sort of kick in a little bit. This message was actually birthed with me 20 years or so ago in a vision. I've received a few visions in my life and some prophetic words, but this one was one of the clearest. It was a very strong vision I received in prayer. In the vision, I saw an earthly table. It was set with an abundance of good things. Can you picture it? An earthly table? Set with all the good things of earth? I want to call that restaurant Earth's Bounty. There's tables in a restaurant, and the restaurant is Earth's Bounty. Now, what's on the menu? Sunrises. Some of y'all can't relate to sunrises. Sunsets. Births of precious babies. Flowers, mountains, beaches, apples, grapes, honey, fun, fellowship. Things created for us by our God, who is a good God. But the table was Are you picturing a table? The table was crowded. People were elbowing each other, trying to get the best food, more food, the best seat. And there was way more than enough to go around. It was a bounty. But some people were acting like hogs, trying to take more than their fair share. And because some of them were doing that, the strongest took of more than their share. And it left the weakest and the smallest to settle for the crumbs. So the earthly table, crowded, noisy, hustle, bustle. How many of you experienced that? How many of you know that there's everybody belling up to that table, trying to get the best seat? Then my gaze zoomed out, and I saw another table, a heavenly table. Now remember, this is a spiritual restaurant on this earth for us here now. We know that there's a heavenly table that we're going to go to when we go to heaven, at the marriage supper of the Lamb, but I'm talking about a spiritual table that God has set for us here now. It's a beautiful table. It's sort of like the pictures of the marriage supper of the Lamb you've seen. It just goes off into the sunrise and, you know, all the beautiful stuff. It's got the china, just glorious, and I can picture the angels running around. Would you like a little more water? Would you like some tea? Isn't it going to be great? There's that same, a similar kind of table that God Himself has set for us here now. And the thing about that table was it was glorious. And there wasn't anybody hardly there. There were very few people there. The table was almost empty. Easy to get to. Even today, I hear the Lord. I hear the Lord Himself calling out to His people. Rise up, my love, and come away. Rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away from the affairs of this life and feast with me at the heavenly table that I have prepared for you. Oh, my dove, you who are hidden in the clefts of the rock, in the hiding places on the mountainside. This is the Lord. Show me your face. You sing to me, the Lord says, and you ask me to show you my face. I come to you today, and I ask you to show me your face. Now, even the most mature Christian, the most experienced Christian, has a tendency to not do this. Amen? Do you find it a struggle in your own life? You get so caught up in the things of the Lord that you forget the Lord Himself. And the Lord Himself is what is important. Let me hear your voice, He says. For your voice is sweet and your face is lovely. Will you answer the call to the Lord, your Lord, to come away with Him? We do it today. Don't put it off. Don't put it off to the next big project. Will you come away? Am I the only one? Do you feel the heart of the Lord in that? Do you feel the heart of the Lord? Do you feel what He's saying, the Spirit of the Lord saying, will you come away to the table that I have prepared for you? What a blessing! We're silly if this is not the word of the Lord, but He has a table for you. This table at the restaurant I call the Heavenly Delights Restaurant makes the earthly table pale in comparison. Now, listen, let me just say, how many of you have ever bellied up to that, set at that heavenly table, heavenly delights? Have you done that? Now, is there anything on earth that can compare to that? The menu is exquisite. A lot of you didn't know I knew that word, did you? Even though the menu is unbelievable, it's not primarily the menu that makes the impression. It's the atmosphere. It's the ambiance. It's like the anointing that permeates the best worship service. Only better, richer, deeper. And then you realize that what makes the atmosphere so electric is the presence. It is the I Am, the King Himself. The Shekinah glory of the Lord fills the room. And when you sit at this table, you worship. And this worship transforms. It's not singing songs. It's not getting in harmony. It's not getting goosebumps. When you sit at this table and then you worship, that worship transforms you into the image of the living God. It energizes you. Oh, I need energy. I'm getting old. Some of y'all making fun of me getting old. I'm getting old. I need more energy. It energizes you to go to the table of the Lord and to worship. And it regenerates us. It fills us with love. Fills us with all the good things of God. Listen to this. It fills us with all the good things of a God who is very good. God is good all the time. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Taste and see that the Lord is good. In the presence of the Lord, there is fullness of joy. In His right hand are pleasures forevermore. Psalm 36 tells us of a group of people who say, we feast on the abundance of God's house. I'm going to say that again. There's a group of people who are feasting on the abundance of God's house. Wow! Wow! How many of you would like to feast on the abundance of God's house? There's enough fried chicken for everybody. And it says that these people say that we drink from the river of His delights. Woo! Y'all, isn't that exciting? And they say to the Lord, you are the fountain of life. And in your light we see light. Now what's the river of His delights? I'm just going to skim through it. It's not so much the menu itself that blows you away. It's what you experience as you partake of His delights. It's the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. It's also the gifts of the Spirit. Words of wisdom. They hadn't passed away, by the way. Any Baptists here? I love y'all, but they hadn't passed away yet. Words of wisdom, words of knowledge, prophecy, faith, healing, miracles, tongues, interpretation of tongues, discernment of spirits. You also experience the beauty of holiness. You experience the oil of joy. You experience the garment of praise. Now I can tell by looking at some of your faces, you're saying, this guy is off the deep end. And some of you say, I tried that. I'm telling you. I don't care what you're going through. I knew Paul would sing about a fire today. Even in the midst of a fire. Even in the aftermath of a fire. In the burn center when you came and saw us down there. Even in the midst of the pain. Don't tell me I haven't felt pain. But I'll tell you that He's been faithful. So don't look at me. Don't do it. Don't look at me and say you don't know what you're talking about. I know what I'm talking about. He's faithful. The Apostle Peter tells us that according to God's power, according to God's power, He has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. At the table of the Lord, you partake of all things that pertain to life and godliness. And Peter goes on to say, through Him, through the knowledge of Him who called us to glory and virtue. If you're a believer today, God has called you to glory and virtue. Where do you find that glory? And where do you find the virtue? You find it at the table of the Lord. And He's given us great and exceedingly precious promises. that we might become partakers of His divine nature. How would you like to be a partaker of His divine nature? Now, this heavenly restaurant has a view. Boy, does it have a view. Sunrises are more beautiful. Babies are more precious. Children are sweeter. Green grass is greener. Many of you experienced that. I've been in such a spiritual state a few times in my life where the grass was just so green. And the blue sky was so blue. Everything about the first table, the earthly one, is better when you're looking at it from the perspective of the heavenly one. How many of you can say amen to that? The perspective of the heavenly table makes everything on the earthly table more precious. I don't know if I've, as an aside, I don't know if I've ever been more ready to go on and be with the Lord. But I love life. And the more I get ready to go on to be with the Lord, the more I enjoy my grandchildren. The more I enjoy sunrises and sunsets. It may seem intuitively to be counterintuitive, but it's not. When you're sitting at the heavenly table and you're looking at the earth, everything of the earth is more precious. The good things of the earth, the bounty of the Lord is more precious. Now, I'm still talking about the vision that I had. As I meditated on this vision, as I began to contemplate what all it meant, I realized there was a third table in a third restaurant. Now, the way I'm explaining it is there's three restaurants in one building. It's on three levels. So I'm talking about three restaurants today, and they're on three levels. One building. Now, there's one entrance to the building. Everybody comes into the entrance that's on the ground level, and they go into Earth's Bounty. And that's where everybody starts. So then there's another table that's up on the second level that I call Heavenly Delights. Now I want to talk to you for a minute about the third one. Does anybody have an idea where that third one may be? It is in the basement. It is a subterranean bar and grill called Lucifer's Place, or Lucy's for short. Now, I have to say that it's not my cup of tea, but it is a very popular establishment. It appeals to the very worst of human nature. You can find all the temporary pleasures of the flesh. It's a reflection of the owner, Lucifer, the devil, Satan. Just like the Heavenly Delights restaurant is a reflection of the character of the owner of that restaurant, God Himself. Now, turn on your imagination. You've walked in here. You've been eating at the earthly bounties table, and you're happy. And all of a sudden, you're sort of attracted to this door that goes down into the basement. Now, the first thing you notice when you walk up and peer down into the door, you peer down these steps, and it's a dark dungeon-like room. And the first thing you notice is the atmosphere. It's noisy. Sounds like a party going on. In fact, there is a party going on. It appeals to the senses. It's sensual. It has a real drawing power associated with it. Then you notice the menu. Now, the menu's strange. I've never seen one like this. I don't know if you have or not. It's posted at the... We see that they're posted. Some restaurants have their menus posted. It's a fill-in-the-blank menu. I've never seen one. You want it? We got it. All you need. You know intuitively that everything on this menu is just a cheap imitation of the menu of the other two restaurants. At the very best, it's an imitation. Normally, it's a downright perversion. Genetically modified would be the best it can be. It is genetically modified. Good. See, we're getting into this creative thing. You can see this creative thing. The juices are flowing. You want sex? Get all you want. Don't have to be married. Oh, no. Boring. That's what they tell you. You can have all the drugs and the alcohol. You can just eat. Now, I want to tell you, the owner of this establishment cannot create anything. He's a liar and the father of lies. Now, as you're sort of perusing over this menu, a greeter comes up and says, "Welcome. Glad to see you. We have a table set up especially for you. We've been hoping you would drop in." The greeter looks nice, and definitely the friendly and hospitable type. But there's something about her eyes. There's a darkness in her eyes that's hidden behind a smile and happy words. You're sort of being tempted to go down those stairs and check it out. Now, you know it goes against your better instincts. You know you don't really want to do this. So you say, "Aha, I need to check the cost." You look at the menu, and guess what you find? There's no cost on the menu. So you bring it to the greeter's attention, and she refers you to another posted notice. Would you like to know what this posted notice says? "You do not have to pay for anything tonight. We offer a killer credit plan." Sometimes they tell the truth without meaning to. "Enjoy now. We want you to enjoy now with no worry about the cost. We'll take care of those minor details later. In fact, we're willing to run up a huge tab over an extended period of time. Enjoy now. Pay later. Trust us. The price will not be too high. Eat, drink, and be merry. That's our motto. That's our company creed." Y'all understand that? They conveniently leave out the rest. "For soon you will die. And then the bill will be payable in full." Have you ever been tempted to descend into that basement? I want to forewarn you that the junk that's served in that place ruins the enjoyment of the food and the meals and the blessings of the other tables. And not only does it ruin it, it ruins your ability to enjoy it. People tend to think, I hope none of you fit into this, but I dare say some of you do, people tend to think that they can go from table to table, restaurant to restaurant with no problems. They're wrong. You cannot belly up to the bar at Lucifer's place and then climb the two flights of stairs and sit down at Heavenly Delights and then and enjoy Heavenly Delights. Sin leads to more sin. Sin, the path of sin is downhill. It goes from bad to worse. How many of you know that? And once people become regular patrons of Lucy's place, Lucifer's, once they become patrons of that, regular patrons, they need a deliverer. They can't get out by themselves. But it is addictive. You're addicted to it. And the good thing, it's like junk food. You get addicted to junk food. It keeps you from eating the good food. Guess what? You need a deliverer. Guess what? I've got good news. There is a deliverer, and his name is Jesus. Let's be honest. Some of you go down to Lucy's place every once in a while. You know from experience that it takes weeks to get over it. The guilt, the memories, the smell of hail on your clothes, and then your hair. It's not worth it. The price of giving in to these temporary pleasures is way too high. Now, many of you have heard of the gift that keeps on giving. This is a gift that keeps on taking. But really, it's not a gift. It's really a purchase with a very high price tag of which you will never be able to pay it off. Just like the wedding garment, you cannot afford to pay off the debt that you've run up in Lucifer's Bar and Grill. It collects and keeps on collecting until the debt is paid off in full. Now, and you know that you just don't have the resources. The good news is that the debt has already been paid off in full. The owners of Lucy's place don't want you to know it. But if you're willing to leave the bar and go up to the Heavenly Delights restaurant, change restaurants and go up there, if you're willing to do that, the price of your deliverance has been paid. He paid it off in full. He's rich enough to cancel out your debt regardless of how high a bill you ran up. How many of you ran up a high bill? Don't have to raise your hands. You just don't want to, you don't want to go back down in there. It's possible for born-again, spirit-filled believers to sort of drift off back down into that dungeon. Now, some of you just like to stand at the top and sort of peer down there and wonder what it'd be like. Get away from that door. It's a draw. It has a draw. Get away from that door. Consider what you're going to give up if you give in. For several years, over the years, I've preached a similar message to this about three restaurants. Had to change it. Because the title of today's today's message is Three Restaurants, Four Tables. Because just recently, I have come to see that there's a fourth table. Now, this fourth table is going to be applicable to many of you here today. It's not in the building with the others. It's not even in a public place. There's a table, but it's small. Only room for two. It's a very private table. It's not in a restaurant, but it's the table of your heart. I got blown away when I began to see this. The King Himself wants to be a guest in your house. The King Himself wants to be a guest in your house. Now, when I look back over shipwrecks and failures in the full gospel community and every community, I think one of the primary causes is that good people get caught up in doing things and they forget to have this private, intimate communion with the Lord God. And I feel like I've been brought here today, maybe for one, maybe for ten, maybe for all of us. Don't let those things get in the way of what is the primary thing, and that is sitting at a table set for two with the King of the universe. He stands at the door and knocks. Will you let him in? Now, I'd like to consider today the question of what kind of table attracts the Lord. What kind of atmosphere does he like? What kind of menu does he like? Time's not going to allow it today, but I have something very important for you. Ask him yourself. Ask the Lord himself, what kind of table do you like? What kind of menu do you like? What kind of ambiance do you like? Is your heart a hospitable place for the Lord? Does he find things in it that distracts him? Yes, ma'am.
Don't worry about it, because when you allow me to come in, I will create a design atmosphere.
Absolutely. You talk about the anointing that is on public praise and worship. It ain't nothing like the anointing that permeates the private communion with the Most High God. And I don't know why we don't spend more time there. I think we just get distracted. Now, I know I'm speaking to several groups of people here today. There are people with different levels of understanding and different levels of spiritual commitment. Some of you are more committed than others. Some of you have more understanding than others. I know that I'm talking to people who spend their time at different tables. I know I'm talking to people who spend their time at different tables. A few of you have only ever fed at the table in the first restaurant. You enjoy life and don't see much beyond the here and now. And people in this category see everything and evaluate everything from the perspective of the earthly table. And if they are Christians, they evaluate their Christian experience in light of what does it do to improve my life here. Now listen, the Christian experience will improve your life, but it will also bring some difficulties. And if you allow your mind to seek after God for the things that He will give you and the benefits you will accrue, then you will be tempted to fall back because the devil will make sure that he makes your life as miserable as possible. So maybe today the one who is least, most resistant to this message, the one who's least open to it, the one who says, I wish he would shut up, I'm tired of hearing this feel-good message, maybe it's for you. Maybe you need to switch tables. Amen. Just maybe it's time to switch a table. Now, life is better when viewed from the heavenly table. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Now, a few of you, a few of you probably go to Lucy's place with some degree of regularity. You need to get out of there. You need to start spending your time at the heavenly table. Did you know that the heavenly table is a good antidote for the works of the flesh? Repent! 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 Do you know what repent means? It means to change directions. It means to go up those two flights of stairs, leave Lucifer's behind, take him out of your GPS system, and put the Heavenly Delights restaurant in your GPS. Don't go to Lucifer's anymore. Now, for some of you here today, this is a critical message. It's helping me so much. I love Heavenly Delights Restaurant. It's a public place. Did you know that public worship is powerful? Public prayer meetings, earth-changing. Public fellowship meals with Christian families, rich. But I want to tell you, there's more. In the days of the charismatic renewal, this was a constant theme. There is more. Some of you remember, time after time, people would stand up and say, I just want to tell you more. There's more than dead, die, dry traditional churches. You can experience the gifts of the Spirit. You can experience a relationship with God. You can be set free to dance. You can be set. Jim used to tell people over and over, I'm taking videos and sending them back to your church. You remember that? Because they don't act in church like they act in the conferences. And so he took videos and a lot of people got kicked out of churches. I think he was trying to grow. But there's wonderful times in that. But I want to tell you, charismatic church, full gospel church, there's more than speaking in tongues. There's more than public worship. There's more than being free to dance. There is the fourth table. Now that is, listen, private time. When you realize that the King of the creation actually wants you to invite Him to a table prepared by you for Him. Will you begin today? Now I want you to sit down at three of the four tables. I want you to leave Lucifer's forever. But God wants you to enjoy the earth's bounty. We're going to enjoy some in a few minutes, and I'm going to really enjoy it. I like to eat. Did I tell you? Did I tell you I like to eat? So you can call this the restaurant of His place today. I want you to enjoy the heavenly delights, and I really want to encourage you to set up a table at your place. We worship publicly at His place. Private communion is at yours. God wants me to tell you that He enjoys meeting with you here, but He wants you to spend time with Him at your place. Will you commit? This is where I'm going. This is what it's been about. Will you commit to prepare a table for Him? That private table in your heart. Are you willing? Don't ever believe anybody that says, trust me, okay? But trust me. Try it out for yourself. And begin to ask the Lord, what kind of table can I prepare for you? And begin to draw away. Come away. Rise up. Rise up. And come away. And as I say rise up, they rise up to go give us a bounty at Earth's Bounties table. I want you to listen to me today. And I will assure you that if you pay attention to it and draw close to Him, it'll do you well in the days ahead. Let us pray. Lord, you tell us that blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness. Lord, I hunger. I thirst. Will you say that to Him? I hunger. I thirst. That was pretty weak. It's going to take a little bit more dedication than that to get up those step flights to that heavenly table. Let's try it again. I hunger and I thirst. Now this, I hunger and I thirst after righteousness. For you, for you, for you. For you, you alone are righteous. And you alone are my righteousness. Lord, you tell me in your word that we who hunger and thirst after righteousness will be satisfied. And so I hunger and I thirst and I expect to be satisfied. I repent for my attention to lesser things. I repent that I have placed things, activities above you, good things. But I haven't hungered after you like I should. But right here, right now, I declare no more. Will you just say that? No more. I say no to the things which do not satisfy, not to the imitations and perversions of the devil. I put a stop to it. I want to spend more time at your table. I want to be filled with the good things that you have for me. I want to feast at the abundance of your house. I want to drink at the river of your delights. I want to be a partaker of the divine nature. I want to sit at your table. Now, I'm going to pray it again in a minute, but Howard Morgan said this, I think it was him or Hiram One, said at our church, that be careful because God hears your prayers. When you are praying this prayer, you can rest assured that God is hearing it, and He takes your prayers by faith. I want to be a partaker of the divine nature. Will you say amen to that?
Amen.
And then the Lord says, the Lord says, I want to sit at your table. Will we respond today, I want you to sit at mine? Will you say that? I want you to sit at my table. Teach me, O Lord, how to prepare a table for you. I accept your call to the marriage feast. With your help, I'll actually attend the marriage feast. I RSVP with a yes. I will rise up and come away with you, my beloved. I will show you my face. And all the saints said.